Our reading today, the Word of God that we want to consider, is written in Luke's Gospel. And in the 19th chapter, we read at the beginning, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This is God's word for us today. I apologize, for some reason my throat is really dry this morning. Well, I think he gets shorter every time we tell the story. Sunday school children sing about the wee little man. In fact, illustrated Bibles and everything from stained glass windows to coloring books depict a tiny elf-like of a man perched bird-like on a tree limb. Poor old Zacchaeus. Or should we say rich old Zacchaeus. Either way, we've got a short story about a short man. Who groaned back there? Somebody did, right? We have a short story about a short man who climbed up a tree to get a good view of the parade. So, in good comedic fashion, how short was he? Was he fantastically short or tiny? Was he spectacularly diminutive? Would his picture have made it into the Guinness Book of World Records? To be honest, no one really knows. All we know is that he was shorter than the people who were standing in front of him. And, you know, thankfully they weren't singing the song Short People. But anyway, all these people were eager to see Jesus, and he couldn't. So he had to climb up on the limb of a tree to get a good look. Why do children love this story so much? Now, Tom Wright offered an explanation. He said, Sunday schools love Zacchaeus. At least they love to act out his story and sing about him. The little man who climbs a tree to see Jesus provides us one of the most vivid stories or pictures in the Bible. Children can identify with Zacchaeus. You see, they often find themselves at the back of a crowd, and they can't see what's going on. And you know, many adults too identify with him. They kind of like to get maybe closer to Jesus, but maybe they find it embarrassing or potentially costly. Now, we know that Zacchaeus lived in Jericho, which was known as the City of Palms. It's a city situated at the base of the hill that leads up to Jerusalem. And he had been taunted and hated by everyone in Jericho because he was not only the tax collector, but he was the chief tax collector in the region. A biblical scholar by the name of Fred Craddock contended that being the chief tax collector implicated him more deeply in the corrupt tax system of the Roman government. In a corrupt system, the loftier one's position, the greater one's complicity in that system. And so while we don't know really much about the private life of Zacchaeus, but there is much that we do know on principle, because no one can be privately righteous while participating in and profiting from a program that robs and crushes other persons. There's a story told about a local fitness center that was offering $1,000 to anyone who could demonstrate that they were stronger than the owner. And here is how it worked. The muscle man would squeeze a lemon until all the juice had run out into a glass. And then he would hand the lemon to the next challenger. And anyone who could squeeze just one more drop of juice out of the lemon would win the money. Well, over time, many people tried. I mean, there were other weightlifters, there were construction workers, there were even professional wrestlers, but nobody was able to do it. Then one day, this little short, skinny, puny guy came in and signaled that he wanted to sign up for the contest. Well, after all the laughter died down, the owner grabbed a lemon and just squeezed away. And then he handed the wrinkled lemon to the little man. Well, the crowd's laughter turned to silence when the man clenched his fist around the lemon and six drops fell into the glass. Well, as the crowd cheered, the owner of the place doled out the prize-winning money, but then he asked the guy, what do you do for a living? Are you a lumberjack? Are you a wrestler? What are you? And the man replied, I work for the IRS. Well, Zacchaeus had become frighteningly rich on monies stolen or squeezed, if you will, from the ordinary people of the city. And being slight in stature, he couldn't see above the crowd who lined the street to see Jesus, this wonder worker that he had heard about, that was receiving all the attention at that time. And so he himself then devised a plan. He would climb a sycamore tree that had low-lying branches, and then he could sort of make his way there because the branches spread out, and it would make it easier for him to climb and to see Jesus. Now, you can only imagine that he must have been an amusing sight hiking up his skirt or whatever, trying to climb the tree. And, you know, this small little man known to everybody in town, propped up on a branch, on a limb, on a sycamore tree, watching the parade go by. But you see, Zacchaeus was not the only notorious man in the city. He also, believe it or not, was a genuine seeker after Jesus, about whom he had heard so much in recent days. And even though he himself had obtained fabulous riches And he had everything that all of those riches could buy. There was something that was still missing in Zacchaeus' life. Perhaps Zacchaeus had heard that this man really does eat with sinners and tax collectors. And so in spite of the embarrassment and the potential ridicule, he proceeded to climb the tree and make a fool of himself. Nonetheless, it was Zacchaeus then who was picked out by Jesus to go to his house for dinner. "Hurry, hurry, get down, for I must stay at your house this day." And when the people saw what Jesus was about to do, they grumbled and said, "He is gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." But in all of this, Zacchaeus' motives seem to be sincere. Because in conversation with Jesus, he said, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much as I have taken." Now, Levitical law only demanded that the principal amount should be repaid and then one-fifth sort of as interest to be added on. But more importantly than that, Zacchaeus did not give just mere intellectual assent. No, he heard the gospel and he engaged in full repentance and true faith that involved his whole person. You see, unlike the rich man that's mentioned in chapter 18 of Luke's gospel, who would not give up his riches, Zacchaeus was willing to give back more than the law required. Peter Gomes recalls worshiping in the black church in his hometown in Plymouth, Massachusetts, when he was growing up. He tells about the excitement during the offering. The people would get up and some would come down to the front of the sanctuary and personally present their monies while the whole congregation was singing rousing hymns. And the stewards then, he said, would count the money right there as it was received. And if not enough monies were given, then the procession would begin again and the people would be asked to give until the goal had been met. And then the congregation would sing again. And if the amount still had not been reached, the minister might say, "We need only $15. Who is willing to stand up for Jesus and give him $15? Congregation sing. And then only when the goal was reached would the congregation sing the doxology, and a prayer of thanksgiving would conclude the service. Gomes said, "You can well imagine the excitement that was generated with the children who were present as they watched and kind of wondered whether or not the goal was going to be reached." You see, Zacchaeus, like this black church, learned the thrill of giving more than receiving. And even though he had given away almost most of what he thought before was important to him in his life, now he counted his former prizes as insignificant in contrast to the new life that he had after seeing Jesus. Now he had an assurance in his life that money could not buy. You know, one of my favorite Charlie Brown cartoons is one in which Lucy is having a very serious conversation with her brother Linus. And it was one of those, you know, one-sided conversations that Lucy always had. Lucy said, "You? A doctor? That's a big laugh, she said. You could never be a doctor. Do you know why? Because you don't love mankind, that's why. After thinking a little bit, Linus remarks, well, I love mankind. It's people I can't stand. And I think a lot of people are like Linus. They love mankind in the abstract, but real people, that's a different story. I mean, it was even said that Karl Marx loved mankind in the abstract and developed an elaborate system for mankind, but he did not care for the ordinary person. You see, the case against Jesus was that he loved everybody. Even those the righteous felt he should not love. He loved the rich and the poor alike. Being rich in and of itself was not necessarily bad according to Jesus. In fact, the parables of the talents and in the parable of the pounds, he spoke rather favorably about the wise use of wealth. And we note that Jesus didn't command Zacchaeus to divest himself of his fortune. And when Zacchaeus did give in an abundant way, Jesus did not require him to give the rest of his wealth that he had acquired. See, the rich person should give in proportion to his or her riches. To whom much is given, much is required. We're told young Albert Schweitzer learned this principle, based his entire life on it. Because you see, Jesus didn't condemn riches, but he did see riches as a problem if a person did not use them correctly. He said if someone concentrated his or her power in worth and riches and did not consider others with less means, Jesus did not think that that was right. They should seek a spiritual use for their riches. You know, we often talk about inviting Jesus into our hearts and into our lives. You know, Jesus knocks on the door politely and somewhat timidly, hoping that we might open up and let him in. But you know, it doesn't always work that way. Jesus doesn't always wait for an invitation. Sometimes Jesus just barges right in. I mean, that's what he did with Zacchaeus. Jesus didn't stand at the foot of the tree and subtly clear his throat to let Zacchaeus know that he was there. I mean, Jesus walked right up to the tree, right up to that little traitor, and invites him to dinner. You better get down here quick, Jesus said to Zacchaeus. Party's at your house. And maybe it's surprising that Jesus wasn't more polite. But you see, Jesus is in charge here. He doesn't sit by demurely until we come up and we ask him for the dance. No, Jesus leads. Jesus didn't wait for an invitation. He was just there, unbidden, in Zacchaeus' face, in Zacchaeus' house, in Zacchaeus' life. And there weren't any conditions. Jesus didn't say, okay, Zach, let's see, if you quit working for the enemy, and if you pay the people back, and if you get rid of all of this dirty money, then I'll come to you. It wasn't like that at all. No, Jesus was just there, accepting Zacchaeus and loving him and spending time with him. Zacchaeus didn't expect this. He didn't ask for it. But now Jesus was on his way to his house for lunch, and Zacchaeus is going to have to deal with it. Now Jesus was in his life, and Zacchaeus would have to deal with that too. And so he did. Zacchaeus dealt with it. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I'll pay them back four times as much." You see, Zacchaeus turned around. He changed his life. He became less selfish. And did he do this to win Jesus' favor? I mean, if that had been the case, he's a little too late for that. No, Zacchaeus cleaned up his act because he had already received Jesus' favor. Zacchaeus had done some pretty rotten things, and he'd lived a pretty horrible life, a life that Jesus couldn't approve of. But Jesus approved of Zacchaeus. See, Jesus leads. Jesus comes into our lives. Jesus offers us love and forgiveness and hope and a new chance. And we don't even have to ask. All that's left for us is to deal with it. All that's left for us is to trust in that love and forgiveness, to believe in that hope and that new chance. I mean, you need to hear this morning, Jesus loves you. You didn't do anything to make that happen, but he loves you. So deal with it. Live like someone who's lovable. God forgives you. You didn't do anything to deserve that. God doesn't owe you a clean start, but God gives you one. God's forgiveness is honest and complete. So deal with it. Be forgiving to others. Give them another chance. You know, Jesus rose for you. He didn't ask your permission first. He just did it. So he says, deal with it. Live for your neighbor. Because you see, Jesus comes to us, our shameful past, our dirty little secrets, our wrong-headed attitudes, none of that keeps him away from us. Jesus invites himself into our lives. He forgives us and loves us and gives us hope. And so today, may God give us a faith to deal with it.